Welcome to the WP Tonic This Week in WordPress and SaaS podcast, where Jonathan Denwood interviews the leading experts in WordPress, e-learning, and online marketing to help WordPress professionals launch their own SaaS.
Welcome back, folks, to the WP Tonic This Month in WordPress and Tech, a live show, also a podcast, and you can also watch it on the WP Tonic YouTube channel. It's a roundtable show where, tongue-in-cheek, we have a look at the WordPress and tech stories of the month, the private eye of WordPress and tech in general. It's where our guest panelists come to destroy their career and their minds, but they still come back. I have no idea, but they are most welcome. And we got the regular panel, got most of the regular panel with us as well. Should be a great show. We're going to be discussing Automattic's recent purchase, and also going to be discussing TikTok and a load of other stuff. I'm going to let the panel introduce themselves. Let's start off with our guests. Let's start with ladies first. Katie, would you like to quickly introduce yourself?
Hey, I'm Katie Keith, co-founder and CEO at Barn2 Plugins.
And we've got Mark Bark. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. My name is Mark Szymanski. I own an agency called Find a Tech, build WordPress websites, and then also make YouTube videos, tutorials, things like that about the WordPress community and other other tools in this space. So that's pretty much it.
All right. We've got Heather with us. Heather, would you like to introduce yourself?
Hi, I'm Heather Wild-Renzi. I am the CTO of The Difference Consulting, and I'm also known as the Unicorn Whisperer.
Yes, the Whisperer. We got Spencer Vorham. Spencer, would you like to introduce yourself? You're muted, Spencer.
It's Spence from WP Launch Fighter.
We've done it twice. You've got twice the value there. This
is it still hiccuping or is
yes,
it
working? You're working all right. Chris, would you like to introduce yourself?
I'm Chris from Lifter LMS, and I have a podcast for course creators and WordPress pros called LMS Cast.
Would you like to do that again? I have two jobs. No, right. Kurt, would you like to introduce yourself?
Yeah, Kurt von Annen, own an agency called Manana No Mas. Also work directly with Chris at Lifter LMS and Jonathan at WP Tonic.
That's great. And before we go into the meat and potatoes of this great show, got a couple of messages from our major sponsors. We'll be back in a few moments, folks.
Tired of hosting providers that can't handle high traffic loads? Convessio is here to help. Our platform can handle any amount of traffic, all without slowdown or crashing. With immediate Slack support, performance optimization, and a team that thrives on resolving technical challenges, your e-commerce business is in safe hands. Learn more about Convessio at convessio.com.
Hi there, tribe. It's Jonathan here, and I want to tell you about OmaSend. OmaSend is a great plugin that delivers SMS messaging and email messaging to your clients. If you're building a woo solution for your client and you're looking to provide a SMS functionality for them and great email, why don't you look at OmaSend? Got a great special deal. You can go to wp-tonic.com/deals, and they're offering 30% off the first 3 months. Plus, if you need any technical help or a migration, they're offering almost $1,000 to help migrate if you've got a group of clients that are looking for this type of service. It's a great offer. They're a great company. I highly recommend them to you. So, like I say, go over to the deals page on the WP Tonic website and you'll find more details there. Speak to you soon, folks. Bye. We're coming back, folks. I also want to point out, I've got a curated list of the best WordPress plugins and also special offers from the major sponsors. What more could you ask for? That's what goes through my mind. You can get all these goodies by going over to wp-tonic/deals, wp-tonic.com/deal, and you'll find all the goodies there. Like I say, what more could you ask? Well, probably a lot more, but that's all you're going to get from that page. I'm sorry to disappoint. So let's go straight into it. So Automatic have been shopping, snacked up a bargain for $125 million, put it in the shopping cart, and off they went. So who shall I start? Mark, what did you think of this little purchase, Mark?
That was interesting. Got some in some groups, I think it was maybe the admin bar, I think Kyle, when it happened, it was a couple weeks ago, right? I think he posted about, like, he was using it. I hadn't heard of it, really. Looked into it a bit. I think it had something to do with, was there something pertaining to iMessage as well at one point? You guys know more than me. I know you guys have been around here for a lot longer. I know you guys know the ins and outs of the automatic,
Automatic knows what's going on in automatic.
I think it's kind of interesting that there's they're trying to, you know, acquire just different things, and Bieber being one of the most latest ones. I don't know if there's a plan there specifically. It seems like an interesting platform. You can kind of see everything all in one, all your messages rolled up. With anything like that, there's always a million questions on my part from the technical side of it. It's like, what features am I losing? I'm gaining like cohesion, but what features am I losing? Is it like native to these other platforms? Are all the features built in that you would want in like Facebook Messenger if you're using like a Bieber, for instance? But I'd be interested to see what continues to happen, if there's any more a deeper thought and you know, a motive behind it. So at a high level, that's what I got.
So Spencer, I'm frustrated. I've got a revolutionary idea. Why not throw the $125 million loose change on WooCommerce and bloody get it sorted out?
I don't think the money's coming out of that pocketbook. I think they have a group of people in their equity fund that are looking for essentially 1,000x home runs. So when they say, like, we're going to spend 25 cents on something we already know is there versus 25 cents on something new, they figure they're going to get back $2,500 on, you know, the 25 cents. I think that's why they're going around buying up stuff. Of all the things they could buy, I mean, I will say Bieber is like the kind of product that makes sense if A, you don't have an iPhone, maybe. B, you otherwise want to spend 24 hours a day being annoyed by people constantly banging you on the app. But I think a lot of us have decided that, first of all, it's really no trouble on an iPhone having X and Facebook chat and the LinkedIn. You can have all these things running synchronously in the background and get all the annoyance you want. But to me, that doesn't sound like super attractive. So I'm not 100% sure if I understand the value proposition. But I do understand why to some people this would be appealing, like the folks who go with Buddy Boss and think that having an app is different than having a bunch of HTML or individual apps. Like, there's a mindset for them.
Yeah. So, Heather, does this make much sense to you, Heather? You're muted, Heather.
Yeah, I mean, it does and it doesn't. I mean, it's another thing that Matt is picking up with Automatic, because they like to have just some kind of unified platform. Because I mean, it does, like, it integrates WhatsApp and Messenger and iMessage and everything. But Bieber is also in the middle of a whole bunch of legislation right now. So, like, they're at the center of a whole bunch of lawsuits. I mean, I don't know why they want to take that on. However, next year, with Apple poised to join the open source and get rid of the green text bubble thing, I mean, Bieber may be a good play for that. So, I mean, I think it is kind of strategic, because it is going to be a more integrated experience for people. But I mean, I don't know exactly why it's an automatic kind of thing.
Yes. So,
I mean, it gets him in the news cycle.
Yeah, it got to be in the news, don't you? You got to do that. Anybody else want to chip in on this? Oh, yeah.
Did anybody know who WPContent.co was? Sorry, Chris, I didn't hear you. Like, I didn't know about this blog, this newsletter that reported on this.
I'll be watching
it. Who was it? It's someone I know, and I just found out, and I've forgotten. I didn't know you did that.
I was reading the about it. It was the team is Jalasna and Aravind Ajit.
You get 5 stars for pronouncing the names. So I
Jyolsna, 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 probably Jyolsna. In any event, it's like WP Weekly, but with a hyphen.
I'm really glad this become a monthly show because there is no WordPress news really. I found some stories around WordPress, but I think they're doing a reasonably job in a dying area of WordPress commentary, really. You know, what's happening to the tavern is quite sad, really, isn't it? But there we go. Chris, what was your remark?
I think it's actually pretty strategic, the Beeper acquisition, and there's really 3 themes here that I'd go over. One of them is, if you look at where I started back in the day with Infusionsoft, it was kind of like an all-in-one platform, marketing automation, e-commerce. So there's like this kind of, it's sort of like what's happening today with Elon Musk and Twitter wanting it to become a super app, one place for everything. WeChat, Alipay, they all do this. But what also happens simultaneously, if you look at the Infusionsoft example, over time, the marketing stack became unbundled. So you get all these like small tools that do all these little pieces of marketing, like cart abandonment or a churn dunning software, and all these little pieces, and it becomes overwhelming. And that's what's happened to the user, is they're completely overwhelmed with messaging. And I think the strategic part about this is, if you look at a CMS, a content management system, there's also, let me couch it in explaining social media and how it's done well and how it's done poorly. Social media is 2 words, it's social and it's media. And a lot of people, when they try to use social media to grow an audience or grow a business, they only do one side of it, and quality matters. So maybe you post a lot of content on social media, that's media, but you're not actually having conversations with people and engaging. That's the social part. So if you look at a content management system, if you switch out the C to a conversation management system, that's, you know, the super app that, you know, Automattic is going there for. And because people are overwhelmed with all these messaging platforms and text messages, you can't keep up with it all. So the user of content and conversations needs a unified place to do that. So that's why I think they're doing this. So it's to optimize for conversations, not just making the best content management system.
Yeah. I follow the logic. Anybody else? Or shall we go on to the next? Let's go on to the next thing. Because we have got quite a large panel. Let's go on. TikTok ban process. Looks like next year they might have to the present owners, the Chinese government, might have to sell and make an enormous profit. Let's go on to Kurt.
Kurt. All right, to Kurt. You're going to try and corner me to say something I shouldn't say on the internet.
It's not that. So do you think it's a good idea? Because, you know, it's not going to go away, in my opinion. It might. I think they'd just sell it to other owners, aren't they, if they're forced to do it?
I just think the whole premise of their actions against TikTok is just falsely propagated to the American people. I just I don't understand why we're getting involved in divesting a company when they say it's for foreign ownership. We're not stopping China from buying our farmland, and we're not stopping China from, you know, messing with our food supply or processing pork that's grown in Texas and sent to China to be packaged. Like, if we were really concerned about national security, we would be concerned about national security. What I am taking away from this is they don't have a lot of controls over the content that comes out on TikTok, whereas they did have controls over the content that went out on Facebook and Twitter and what became X during the pandemic. And I think that lack of control is what spurred a lot of these people to action to make rules and regulations to try and change the direction and flow of our communication.
Yeah. So, Heather, what do you reckon? You're muted.
Yep. I mean, I think it's a lot more complicated. One, I think it was smart to wrap this in foreign aid legislation because that was absolutely a smart way to get that passed. And I think that making it focused on ByteDance's divestment rather than outright ban means that it's a nuanced approach because they're going to make them sell it to potential other investors, which is how they actually work generally with foreign investment. That's what China does with us. I mean, I had a Chinese company and we could only own up to 49% of it and 51% had to be a Chinese company in order to work there. And basically that's the same with us. And if you work in China, like any company in China, you know that the Chinese company is going to put their hooks in it. They're going to own the data. So this is a Chinese company. They own everything that is going on there. Like, we had to have special air-gapped versions of Skype in order to talk to our Chinese employees. This isn't an overreaction by the government. And I think the fact that you're thinking that it is just meaning that propaganda is winning.
Yeah, but it's just TikTok, isn't it? How many cat videos can be dangerous? Yeah, you know.
That you're just proving their point.
I know. I'm just being stirring it. That's so, Katie, you know, is your mind being taken over by TikTok cat videos, Katie?
I've never even been on TikTok, but I don't think this is much to do with the content of TikTok at all. It's a political debate to do with the US versus China and all of that that they're using to get at China, and it's part of a bigger issue. And if TikTok content is being used for manipulative purposes, for example, through the algorithm, then I think maybe people need to look a little bit closer to home at, for example, there's been lots of controversy about US elections and Facebook algorithms and the YouTube algorithm. And, you know, this is not specific to TikTok. So I'm not sure it's really about the content.
So thanks for that, Kate. So, Spencer, so you got something, anything in China, in my opinion, it's basically, it's in bed with the Chinese government, basically. But it's also, I've got such mixed feelings about it. Spencer's part of me thinks it's all, does it really matter? Other parts think it's a terrible idea. Let the Chinese government have something like that. Was your own feelings, are they mixed?
Well, I don't spend a lot of time getting too involved with the political stuff. But lately I've been reading about the economic political stuff. There's a few really well-done blogs and newsletters. One's called Noah's Opinion. But the thing that you'll read about or hear about in the recent week was how finally a lot of the MAGA Republicans woke up to the idea that the United States has left itself in an extremely vulnerable position when it comes to the power play of China on a couple fronts. First of all, Russia's attempts relate to how China essentially gives it all the technology. But when you look at us as America, we have allowed most of our infrastructure and, like, even though we have an infinite supply of it, war-making machinery to be reliant upon Chinese parts and technology and other stuff. And then when you look at the American public and even things as mundane as the electrical grid, we all have this software that we've allowed in through various means that's owned and controlled by China. That's a top-down system. Like Xi Jinping has his finger on the pulse of every single thing. So if there were a situation of a power play through the new axis of Russia, China, North Korea, whomever, to move on Eastern, Western Europe, to move on Taiwan, to move on the United States, Xi just has to wake up with a bad day and decide to go run all that software, stuff that shuts down the electrical grid and takes down everybody's phone. And we have no ability to get out of it. So I think finally some of the American leadership stopped worshiping the false idol and started saying, we really need to start getting our handle on some of this stuff. I mean, literally a handle on it. So the idea is, it's not so much like a call to war, and Biden said something like it's move for peace, but like we can't stick our head in the sand and we can't be focused on fighting amongst ourselves over abortion all day when the rest of the world is moving around like under China's domain. And technologically, we're all going to suffer for it, because imagine one day when all the internet just, like if everything we do just stops working one day. I mean, that's feasible, starting with things like our mobile devices.
I think it's fascinating when you have two forces collide, because, you have the tech to some extent, these enormous companies that really couldn't care piss about America. They really couldn't care. You know, the only thing that matters is the green. And then you got other forces where national security is just a little bit important. And you have these collisions. So, Mark, I was waffling there, Mark. Do you use TikTok? Because you're a younger man, aren't you? So do you use it? Do you feel threatened that your usage might be removed?
It's installed on the phone. I have an account. I don't really post there too much. I don't really watch it too much because it is one of those things. I will say that the technology built into TikTok from that angle is actually incredible. It's one of the best algorithmic things, second to YouTube, I would say. I mean, you just get on there and it knows very quickly how to keep you. So that is like good and bad. A lot of things that I've heard is that because it has, like the China-backed system, I've literally heard this many, many times. I don't know if it's exactly true, but it seems like it could be plausible, is that if you were looking at TikTok in America, they're giving you all sorts of like kind of trash content, like stupid things. But then like in China, they don't let their children see that type of
thing. No, I read that. Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like they show them like science things and engineering and all that. There's this concept goes way back, precedes me, that even in like the 90s, the Chinese were like trying to infiltrate like kind of with the propaganda. And like it's been like a fifth dimensional type thing. Not like, it's not like they're sending people over here. They're trying to like infiltrate and change like generation by generation. And I've definitely seen that. I think it's starting to swing a little bit back to a certain degree with the newest generation, which is Z, or I don't know what it is right now. But my point is that with this, to getting back to the actual topic at hand here, as an American capitalist, I don't really like, most of the stuff that I hear about Chinese communist stuff. And in this sense, like it doesn't really see it. Spencer makes a lot of great points. Like, I feel like this could be, I see where Kurt's coming from, but at the same time, like I am mixed on it a little bit. But ultimately, I think the bigger thing that this wraps into is that we have so many issues like internally in our country that like if we could kind of segment some of that stuff out, that we're not getting those external like forces and things like changing the way that we are at our core, and then we could deal with the stuff at home. It's a many aspects, not just TikTok. I feel like this is all kind of wrapped up in there. So that's kind of where I would slide towards in this. I don't know. We'll see what happens though, if it actually does get banned or all that. But
what are you on to the next story before we go for a break? A much more lighter, but interesting. Refund requests and renewals. So you posted this, Katie, and I think it generated quite a bit of interest. Can you give us the background why you posted it, and what did you gather any info by the response on Twitter?
I did. I discovered that we screwed up. But I'll start at the beginning. I work with Ellipsis as our marketing agency, and a couple of times a year they do a huge pricing analysis where they look at all our data and make recommendations about improving profitability through pricing changes. And as part of that, they noticed that since about January or something, we've had a massive increase in people wanting a refund for renewals specifically. So not new sales, but renewals. And it's like new sales and normal refund requests have gone up by about 21-22% since this time last year, which, so that makes sense. Refunds have gone up the same amount as sales. But for renewal refund, it went up 73%, and our renewals didn't go up 73%. So I tweeted it and said, oh, this is an interesting trend. Has anybody noticed this? And everyone was like, well, no. And some had a few kind of general speculations about the WordPress industry and why people weren't renewing, but that wasn't based on any evidence. And a few people said, why don't you check your email is actually sending that tells people they're going to be renewed. So we checked that, and our email that is sent 2 weeks prior to the renewal broke in November. And so we've been renewing our customers after a year after they buy their plugin and not telling them in advance that we're going to take their money. So of course, some of them are going to get a refund rather than cancelling before. So basically, we just screwed up, and there was a few errors together that meant that we weren't aware that this email had stopped sending. So it wasn't a wider issue. It was just us being stupid.
I wouldn't say you're stupid, Katie, at all, but there we go. So, Chris, what did you... Well, I think it's fascinating. Why do people... Depends. I don't know what... average amount are we talking about, Katie?
Refunds on renewals?
Yeah.
It's something like 20% or something like that.
No, the amount they've been charged, is the average?
Our average order value is about $100, a lot less than Chris's.
But it's not huge, isn't it? I wonder why the difference of having an email sent to them and not make such a difference. Any idea about that, Chris?
Yeah, I have a lot of thoughts on this. When it happens, any WordPress product company or software company gets a percentage of renewals, and the people will say things like, I didn't authorize this transaction, even though they signed up for a subscription, and so on. The key to reducing this is actually focusing on your onboarding in the beginning and your support resources and your support experience so that they onboard and activate into the product. What we found with renewals is that by the third year, if they're still there, there's like a 99% they're just going to stay on forever. So it's really on you the first year to get them onboarded and activated. Make sure you're selling to the right people. That's a big thing in your marketing. And then... when it comes time for the renewal, that notification is a good service. You want to make sure that they have an upcoming renewal. You need to make sure that's a transactional email and however you're sending that, and not just like in a marketing automation system that they can unsubscribe from. So I know some people don't set that up correctly. And yeah, that's my main tips around that. And also, the way software subscriptions work, we implemented something called a cancellation capture flow, where when somebody does, they get that renewal email, or even before, if they decide like, hey, I don't want this to auto renew, there's basically, when they click cancel, a form pops up and you can collect a bunch of information at that touch point. Also remind them that if they decide to get back in, the price may be higher. And then you can use that data to, you know, fix whatever the reason is that they're canceled.
I don't know what that was about. That was great insight. So, Spencer, what's your thoughts about this? I think there must be differences if you're selling to kind of developers, or you're selling business to business, the business to consumers to some extent, isn't it?
Well, I've been spending a lot of time focusing on how the WordPress ecosystem is going to change for selling software. And without reference to anything with Katie's business or Chris's business, which I think are very well established and doing very well in the traditional model, my experience on a day-to-day basis has been there is a bifurcation of people's perception, and that the new model, which is something I'm advocating for and trying to make moves for, is very similar to what we see in the watching television, you know, like Netflix, Hulu, Disney, all these other things where it's an aggregation and you basically get in the software field to be something like SetApp for Mac, where you essentially pay for a source that presents all of the related software as one unified service. Because AD and I talked about this over bourbon, and Chris and I have talked about this forever. Each individual provider is now an oasis in an ocean of chaos, of WordPress changing, other providers changing, everybody duking it out. And then there's a couple powerful forces that keep coming down and trying to crush everybody, including Automattic. My version of WordPress is that there's a portion of customers, and I think that's who Katie is experiencing, who buy something from the traditional model, see if they like it. Then they get into whatever they're doing, and they realize either I need it, but I wasn't sure why. I don't need it. Something else happened. And it gets like confused. So the diehard people who really get value from your software, yeah, for now, at least they'll keep paying annually. But a lot of those other people met somebody along the way, good or bad, hopefully somebody like me, who's like, hey, guess what? Like, here's how you could use a curated stack of stuff instead of Frankenstein willy-nilly stuff that you threw at it. And I love Katie, you know, Barn2's products are amazing, but there's at least two or three competitors that have all the same stuff as you guys. And you're all competing in a space where somebody's like, what's the difference? You know what I mean? There's no way for objectively a normal human being who's like, hey, I'm working for this company. What am I supposed to use to know? So long story short, I think that it's not an indication of anything wrong with the old system. It's that the old system is giving way to a new system, and that a lot of people are just like, can't I just get WordPress as a service from somebody that gives me everything I need and I can trust? Which has always been an agency, but not at agency pricing. More like I can get, you know, Netflix for $20.
I can see where you're coming from. I think it depends on the user base, because I would imagine, Katie, would you say it's still dominated by adding functionality to WooCommerce? A lot of your, I think that's where you got your initial traction for your business, didn't you, Katie? So I would imagine a lot of those are implemented developer types that buy your plugin, not actual to some extent. Or am I totally wrong about that?
Yeah, it's about half and half, website owners versus people building sites on behalf of somebody else, which means often people didn't want to renew because, say, it's their client's responsibility to renew in the future. They bought it as part of the project. They may not even be working with the client. So, yes, some of them are people who have moved on to other solutions. Some of them have moved beyond WordPress and WooCommerce. They might have closed down their business. So there's all sorts of reasons. I think with another factor of Spencer's model is that it's probably going to be more of the monthly subscription model like Netflix, and that people are aware of their subscriptions when it's monthly. But with annual, like with my plugins, people forget that they bought something. And yeah, it might be clearly labeled on the checkout, renews annually, but people don't remember. And that's why it's important to send them the email that broke, so that they are warned, because they're like, ah, actually, I've closed my website. I forgot that would renew. I need to cancel. So it's not necessarily a kind of wider problem as to why are people leaving. It's just that people deserve to be told before they're renewed annually.
You bring up a good point, which I've had before doing WordPress plugins in the WordPress space, a lot of experience that there's a philosophy whether you should notify somebody of their subscription or not. On a monthly subscription, I would agree that it, in common sense, even in ethical business, should not be notifying everybody every month, because that's just like annoying people into like, don't keep telling me I'm flushing money down the toilet for this thing. Like a gym membership, you just make me feel bad every month that I'm not going to the gym. I agree that at a certain price point, like if you have something in the multiple hundreds of dollars a year or more, you probably have an ethical duty to charge the people and let them know that you charge them, so they have a chance to at least get back a refund. Like, wait, Katie, I didn't need that this year. But that otherwise, I think that the logic still applies, that the people have been confused until recently what they were really buying. I think that nobody is really using the support of individual software authors to the extent that they would somebody comprehensively. Like your accessories, like my software, add on to WooCommerce, and Chris has his thing and so forth. That's just one feature out of 20 features people need. I really doubt your team supports somebody when they come in and say, hey, I'm using your product add-ons and I want to do marketing automation with WooCommerce and WP Fusion and Launch Flows and Lifter LMS. I doubt your team is going to help them with that. And I think that's where people are finding that a subscription for all the software is like an all-you-can-eat buffet. And they really are looking for somebody to say, help me with my end solution. And that's why WordPress, when you look at Automotive and Automatic and all these other companies, that's why they're pushing so hard. Once you capture, willingly or not, everybody into one bucket, people are like, just give me what I need. I'll pay for it. And, you know.
So, Heather, before we go for our mid-break, Heather, have you got anything to say about this?
I mean, I think everybody's already said basically the same thing. But, I mean, really it is, like, depending on how much you charge is how much effort you can put into this. And, I mean, if it's a really expensive white glove treatment, then every year, then remind people, but also just in your renewal notice, just make it easy for people to get a refund. I mean, that's the easiest thing you can do, because, I mean, the worst it's going to cost you is that fee for refunding people, and it's easier than a chargeback.
Yes.
You know, my takeaway on this particular story is completely different, and it's, I actually want to give a shout out to Katie for having an awesome, transparent, intuitive X account. Like, you put this on X, you put yourself out there, and I think pretty quickly you had some direction or some kind of like a breadcrumb of ideas to probably problem solve and troubleshoot your idea. And that to me was the main takeaway from the story, was like, you're using these common communication things to really excel as a business owner and problem solve things quickly and efficiently. And I thought that was awesome.
Yeah, Katie.
Yeah, I think people use XGog. It's like an extended mastermind group where you can get ideas from the whole community and not just somewhere to show off about how great you are. So I think people miss an opportunity, actually. They could be getting a lot of actionable free business coaching, actually, from X.
Yeah, I never got any free coaching for X, only a boot up the arse. That's the only...
Did you ask?
Well, some of the comments about me on X. But maybe that's down to my English. I think we're going to go for our bit break. It's been a fab discussion. I've enjoyed it so far. We will be back in a few moments, folks.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Lifter LMS, the leading learning management system solution for WordPress. If you or your client are creating any kind of online course, training-based membership website, or any type of e-learning project, Lifter LMS is the most secure, stable, well-supported solution on the market. Go to lifterlms.com and save 20% at checkout with coupon code podcast20. That's podcast20. Enjoy the rest of your show.
We're coming back, folks. We've had a diverse discussion. We've covered a few subjects. Heather looks very serious. I think she's doing some other work. She's multitasking. I don't blame her. I would do the same if I was her. But before we go into the meat potatoes, I want to say that why don't you sign up for the WP Tonic newsletter? I write a weekly newsletter where I select the weekly best WordPress and tech stories of the week, a bit similar to this show. I do it myself, and it's free. And you can get this fabulous newsletter that's a bit different to the other ones in the WordPress space by going over to wp-tonic/newsletter. wp-tonic.com/newsletter. Sign up and it will be in your inbox weekly. What more could you ask for? There we go. So on we go. Right. So this came on my radar and then I didn't realise it was War and Peace. Discord CEO Jason Citron makes his case for a smaller, more private internet. Who shall I go through here? Let's go with Chris.
This ties back into what I was saying about overwhelm in an earlier story. And there's just too many social apps. There's too much content. There's too much in the inbox. There's too many people trying to sell you in LinkedIn Messenger. And what people want, and this is actually the big competitive advantage in the exponentially advancing artificial intelligence age, what's the one thing that makes us human? It's like real community. Even this call we're on right here is a pop-up community and conversation. And people tend, I think more and more, we're going to see people like segment into the communities and sub-communities that are right for them because they just can't keep up with it all. And for Discord, it's a particular type of younger, techie, kind of crypto, and it just has its vibe. In the same way that there's a lot of WordPress activity on Twitter or X, and that's where a lot of the global WordPress community hangs out. That's why Elon Musk is trying to bring a LinkedIn-like experience and everything else to Twitter. So that's all this is. This is just an example of people picking and choosing and planting their flag on where their community lives on the internet and trying to get past all the overwhelm and just spending most of their time in the place that feels right to them. And in the anthropology, there's a concept called finding the others. So when you find the others for whoever, whatever that is for you, you're finding community, and we're learning how to do that in the online space.
Yeah, kind of. I see where you come from. But I think there's drawback. I think there was three main areas as I was reading this, Chris. There's the area of community, which you just focused, and I think you were spot on. You know, I think in the article they say they've got about 200 million users. But also, I think some of the problems, you know, they've had ad cutbacks, and I think the article's kind of lays out the ground. There's opportunities, but there's also difficulties about it's got, and the way they, it has echoes of WordPress to me and Automattic and Culture. It had echoes that triggered things about the problem with Automattic and WordPress in general. I don't know why, but that's our, and yeah.
Unity in the physical and digital world has their warts and issues and challenges. So, and they're going to be different across different communities.
And this idea of a private community, that's great, but doesn't it just become an echo chamber of your own biases? And it's so prevalent on the internet, people's wanting just to hear other people that agree with their particular mindset.
And well, that's what subculture is all about. When you find the others, the thing that gets lost to many is critical thinking skills and first principles thinking. So yeah, any community is insular and has an echo chamber and common narratives and culture and artifacts running through it.
What do you reckon, Mark? What did you, because I did spend a bit of time reading it, which was unusual for me. I didn't read every word of it, but I did have a go at it. It's a bit long-winded, but it's interesting to get such a long-form interview from somebody that's running something like that. So what was your key things you got from it? Well,
yeah, I mean, I'm a Discord user myself, not heavily, but like, I mean, ultimately, you know, if any of you guys aren't on Discord, like it's really is like a Slack, like how you can be in multiple workspaces. You can be on multiple Discord servers, I believe is the term that they use for it. So for instance, like one of the servers that I'm a part of is actually the support community for the email marketing platform Bento. And like, so that's like a newer, you know, like a ConvertKit, like, you know, those type of platforms, obviously. And Jesse Hanley's doing great stuff there. And like, that's...
Can I interrupt a bit? I hate people... I utilize a couple of products and they're utilizing it as a support channel, and I hate it as a support channel.
This what you're saying?
Yeah, I hate it as a support channel. I think it's awful, but is that just me? Because
I think there's I mean, there's no real right answer for these types of things, but I think there's pros and cons. The pro is that you can actually be in there. In that case, you know, at least speaking for Bento, like you can be in there with the CEO and you can actually ask him questions. And like, that's kind of cool. Now, how's that scale? I don't really know. You know what I mean? Like you can't be in this thing with like a HubSpot CEO or something like that, I'm sure at some point. But yeah, if you don't use the platform, that is a big con, right? Like if you sign up for something and you're like, hey, yeah, our support's in Discord and you don't have a Discord, you've never been in there, it's like, that's kind of shitty. But like, hopefully they at least still give you like email support or something like that.
But a lot of them don't. They just offer Discord, yeah. Don't they?
Yeah. I mean, we're talking like a lot of different nuances here with business and stuff. Specifically with the Discord thing though, I think it's, the platform is really cool. I actually question how they make money. Obviously, I know how they make money with like premium certain things, but like I'm pretty sure.
Well, I think that's the main question in their mind as well.
Yeah, I think like it's free to start like a standard Discord server that gives you a lot of stuff. Also, random thing. I'm probably a little bit off base here, but just from you guys, because I know you guys have products and stuff. You can be. I've never paid Discord a dime. I know the people that I'm using, other than maybe the Bento people. Haven't paid, and you can like go in there and you can be on just like random video game streamers. You could be on calls, like unlimited bandwidth of like voice and video chat. I don't know how they're not losing money in that regard, but they would know the economics better than me. You guys would probably understand the economics better than me. But I think ultimately Discord is a cool platform. Speaking, not gonna echo what Chris said, because I think he made a lot of great points there. The echo chamber thing is a concern. You just can't lose the critical thought and stuff like that, depending on what kinds of servers and communities you get into in that regard. But I think it's an okay platform, but obviously not for everybody, just like everything else.
So, Heather, you know, I thought there's so many aspects of this article when I really started thinking about it, because their platform is notorious in having some really nasty communities. I'm a bit reluctant to go down this road because I don't want to get in any more trouble. I've had enough of it. But it has a history of some really, really unpleasant groups utilizing this platform. And I think they've been kind of, you know, and it's affected their ability to monetize it and their move, you know. Am I on the right track?
There's a couple of different things. Well, one, they have issues with copyright infringement because they can't. I mean, they also have issues with preserving the data on their servers. Because they're predominantly, like 95% of the usage of Discord is for gamers. I mean, that's a pretty toxic community already. So I mean, it's basically like, I mean, somebody said that it's for Black Jay said it's the modern version of IRC. It's more like a different version of 4chan. They say they're trying to keep teens safe because their top priority is content moderation. But then they leave it up to the users of the private servers to do that moderation. And since they're not encrypting any data on their servers, so that you can do the monitoring, then they leave themselves open to being hacked and have all that information spread. And so, I mean, it is a landmine of just all sorts of bad.
Yeah, but you see this with Reddit, you know, that's, you know, but I was amazed how successful their public offering was.
For a day.
Yeah, for a day.
Everything's always popular.
Well, the bank's got to make their money, Heather. Like,
yeah, but they can't sell their stuff right away. I mean, well, anyway, so.
But who wants to be linked? If I had the money to advertise it, I wouldn't want to be linked to certain platforms. I wouldn't touch them with a barge pole, to be quite frank. So, Spence, were there any points you got from this article?
I mean, I think I agree with Mark on the point and Chris in the comments there. The more the AI takes over, the more the content is auto-generated. Yesterday, I had fun playing with, I don't touch Adobe products, but Adobe came out with their new image generating prompt tool for all intents and purposes, the more that that kind of capability is in the hands of mere mortals and floods everything, the more that people are going to go back to like the original Blade Runner movie or one of those like Mad Max movies where the only thing you can trust is your small tribe where you're physically in touch in some way, like on a live chat. And even then, like, Mark, show me your eyes. I want to see if your pupils are dilating. You know, are you really a human? Are you AI generated? I think we're going to be driven more towards human connectivity and relationships because that's the only thing that's keeping us together. I know we've got, thank God you picked up the Boston Dynamics thing, but like we've got all the parts now for the Terminator to happen. I mean, virtually and in person. So what do we have left? I mean, nobody's going to leave their house soon when they have a relationship robot, a service robot. I mean, everything is going to be possible. But
I'll be gone by then. So I don't care because I won't be around. So. So there we go. On to the next. Oh, yes. Mr. Musk. Mr. Musk calls LinkedIn cringe, announces competitor. Shall I go with it? Let's go with Kurt. So I agree with some of it and I disagree with other bits of it. LinkedIn, it's a strange, you are the LinkedIn expert, aren't you, Kurt? You are the only Kurt von.
I am the only Kurt von Anen on LinkedIn, which makes me easy to connect with.
And you wrote a bloody course about it. But
I did.
So what's your thoughts about Mr. Musk?
Well, Mr. Musk, you know, once again, you're trying to get me to disagree with Elon, but I actually kind of see his point. If you misuse LinkedIn or if you use it as an amateur, it is cringe and it is painful and you're messaging inbox will fill up with spam and everyone's going to tell you how they can get you 15 to 30 appointments a month or add $50,000 of MRR to your monthly sales or it does not stop unless you set it up, use it correctly and make proper connections and really create community, which is what a lot of people are trying to automate and get past doing. So the course that I have is really like, how do you organically grow your LinkedIn account without spamming people? And that takes the cringe part kind of out of it. I'd be really interested to know, like when they say we're going to put job postings on X, at what level does putting job postings on X make it a LinkedIn competitor? I mean, it's got to be, I'm going to make it cool. Okay. Well, what does cool job postings in the X structure look like? And I guess that's something that we'll have to see because a lot of times he pulls it out and he makes something happen. I personally hate the Cybertruck, but I know a lot of people that love it. So we'll see what Elon can do with the resources he has because he's kind of a genius in these regards.
Yeah, but I think LinkedIn in some ways has made some good progress, but there's other aspects of it where I think it declined, Kurt. I think there's more interesting content in it. I think a lot of the user base, it's a bit linked to the first half and to our refund conversation. There's a lot of people that sign up for LinkedIn and they don't contribute anything. And then there's a lot of people that contribute and it's a yawn fest. But on the other hand, you don't want it. And you definitely don't want it ending up like X, formerly known as Twitter in some ways. You definitely don't want that.
Think about all of the comments from the panel today. You know, Chris said, find your people. Well, that's the key in LinkedIn. Find your people, find your interest, find your topics, and your feed will fill with that type of material, right? So find your people, build your community. To Katie's point, you can get on there and you can ask questions and be vulnerable and transparent and get responses. So it works really well. Once you qualify to go live on LinkedIn, well, now you've opened up kind of a Pandora's box of being able to use it as a marketing tool as well. Jonathan, you know, because we've been in contact for a few years over this, but you know, I'm pulling 12 to 15 real meetings out of LinkedIn a month and I'm getting my referrals from LinkedIn. So as a business marketing tool, it's working really well and it's working a whole lot better than Slack or Discord has done for me, right? So again, It's each person has to find their channel. Like Mark had said, find a channel. I think Spencer had said, find a channel. You know, all of it comes together. I'm really interested to see how Elon's going to compete with it.
Yeah. So Spencer, my main criticism, you know, I do see LinkedIn has kind of improved, but the one area which they really failed on was groups, and they decided internally to dump on groups and just blew it out. And I never understood that in some ways. So what's your views on Mr. Musk's views on LinkedIn then, Spencer?
I mean, I really am nostalgic for the days when LinkedIn was a place that was free from robotics and marketing and what I'd call, I don't know what I want to call this, but like there's a certain segment of people who follow the model of a couple people who were really smart first movers. And they're basically what I call like pylon commenting. So pylon commenting is where you say something and write something that's designed to essentially latch you on to somebody with more followers. And so the people with more followers, like multi-level marketing, get more people commenting, but the comments and the topics are all just like things that you already know. So that is the track from the value of a lot of the things people post. The second thing is the automated bots. So like 99% of people, if you allow them to connect on LinkedIn instead of following you, you just hear the bing, 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 and they automatically send you like canned messages, which back to the human part, I go, I don't understand who wants to do business like that. Like I wouldn't, like if people stopped my car at a stoplight and came up and knocked on the window, hey, Spence, do you want to buy car insurance or do you want to buy this hamburger? I'd be like, get the F out of here. But somehow people have begun to think that's normal. And I don't agree it is. So Twitter has the opposite problem. Twitter's algorithm, other than Katie Keith and Artie Palmer, I don't see anybody's stuff from anybody because whatever the algorithm is on X, it's become such a small echo chamber that like I can't even understand if anybody's seeing what I post or I can't see anything meaningful unless I'm logged out and I just randomly type searches. So I'm actually going to go with Mark and Chris, the commenter Black Jay, about I think communities are going to have a resurgence. I think not necessarily forums, but like live engagement with real human beings where there's somehow a protection against the robotics. One thing I'll comment on too is I didn't like that Telegraph or whatever the hell that thing was that was like radio, right? It was
Clubhouse.
What was it called?
Clubhouse.
Clubhouse. But there's a new one that's like old called Telegraph, which is now like a walkie-talkie version of it.
Right. Don't Russian bloggers use that? That's Putin's mission.
Well, the thing is, there's a certain element of what's old is new. On the one hand, the Clubhouse was okay, but then it was like 40 people sitting around listening to one person talk. The Telegraph is like Nextel telephones where you can have people and you just go like, chirp, chirp, like I want to say something. And it's like vocal. That at least stands a chance of being somewhere between the worlds of what we started today with, which was your 47 text messaging and static stuff. Like somewhere in between that's like, an on-the-fly Discord that I can talk into might be interesting. But as far as the future, who the hell knows? Like, honestly, that's one of the things I'm most excited and most frightened about is all bets are off today. And every day I wake up, I'm like a kid in a candy store or I'm in a dystopian nightmare. I can't figure out which one it is because there's a hundred things to keep track of and to try.
Get on to Telegraph, listen to Putin the Impaler bragging about how many Ukrainian children he's made orphan that week. What a bastard. What an absolute bastard. What?
Chris is gone.
Chris is gone, right? He's gone. He's ended up. Oh, he's ducking that. So, Eva, what's your views on LinkedIn?
I mean, it's LinkedIn.
It's a strange beast.
Is gone down in usefulness. X has gone down in usefulness. Facebook has gone down in usefulness. Everybody has fled to very different niches, and it's really hard to find anyone to hire. So If you can come, if you can solve this, great. If not, great. I mean, there's no, I mean, it's a problem to find good people on the internet because nobody's attention is in one place anymore.
Yeah, I'm no longer exist. I've just fragmented myself. So that was obvious by my last statement, really, wasn't it? Ever, wasn't it? Yeah, thanks, Ever. I could always rely on Ever and telling me the truth, actually. And Chris, and Spencer. Oh, Spencer loves telling me the truth. Mm-hmm. You get delight out of it, don't you, Spencer, telling me my woes, don't you?
I mean, you know, the only thing that I got going for me at this age and stage is to be completely like the kid in the Emperor's New Clothes story. There's so many people that try to be something they're not. And at this point, I own it because, like, this isn't going to change. So,
well, on to the next one, last one before we close this train wreck of a show. Boston, I'm proud of it. You know, there's not enough train wrecks on the internet. That's what my opinion is. This is unique content, folks. Where else would you find this shit from? Boston Dynamics, Atlas, humanoid robot goes electric. We got nothing to fear, have we, Spencer? What did you think of this one?
This is it. This is what it's always about. In your 20s and 30s and 40s, you care what other people think. Then you go through all these changes. But in your 50s, you're really focused on just being yourself.
Yeah. All right, we've lost something. Oh, yeah. There, we've lost. So Kurt's had enough of it. No, he had a previous. So what do you reckon of this one, Mark? Are you looking forward? You've got a much longer future than me.
I'm totally screwed. I actually love the film iRobot. You know, big Will Smith guy there. That was actually a great film. Reminds me of that a little bit because this is, I'm looking at it on the other screen, kind of scary. In a way, it's kind of cool. Like, you have to look at it both sides. It's really cool that we're able to do this. And you got to think about, like, the guys at Boston Dynamic, like, putting this stuff together. Like, what are they, do they ever think, like, anything bad could possibly happen? My hypothesis, though, is if I see it in my, you know, next, hopefully 60 years or whatever, like, if I see something, I don't know if it's going to be like machine related. It's like we're building the tools to self-destruct us. But really, ultimately, I do think it's more likely that humans are going to use the tools like maliciously. They're going to get into the wrong hands rather than like the actual tools destroy us. I mean, obviously, AI is kind of crazy. But ultimately, we've seen it already with ChatGPT. It's like the AI is just following orders at the end of the day. I mean, it learns from itself a little bit, but ultimately you have to kind of like set it in that direction for it to go that direction. I feel like that may change, certainly. But I look at this and I'm like, that's crazy that it can do these backhand spring, whatever things. But at the same time, like I feel like at the end of the day, it's just a machine that maybe I'll eat my words at some point, but I do think that honestly, it's more likely that like humans are going to use these tools to gain power or different things like that, or to manipulate like situations or whatever. So that's probably where I land a little bit on this, just with this type of article that we got here.
So, Heather, what do they keep making these videos? What is the purpose of it in some ways? Just to terrify the general population?
I don't know. I mean, it's to get people excited about it. Yeah, I mean, they want, by the time these robots are commonplace, they want people to have been so used to seeing them that they're not afraid.
Should I be afraid of?
No, but I mean, anything that's new, especially since they've seen like Terminator and like all these scary movies, or not scary, but where the robots were afraid, like, I mean, things that you should be afraid of, they're trying to get them into the public consciousness because like, 40 years from now, everybody will have a robot in their home.
So fundamentally, how soon are we going to see an AI powered killing automatic on the battlefield? They're already there I mean actual something like we've just...
They're already there.
They are, right.
Yeah.
That's lovely jubbly. That'd be nice, wouldn't it? Some machine going, trying to kill you. So, Chris, are you looking forward to that? Some robotic AI machine that can, as like a machine gun?
Well, not the killing machine, but there's also you know, a lot of opportunity for that and improvements in, you know, quality of life. We've been through this story before where technology makes humans more...
I don't think we'd be there. We've got a bloody machine with a bloody weapon that could kill you, mate. I don't think we'd be
there. I mean, it's the same thing. Like, we invented the factory and now we have a lot of pollution. So there's always a doubt. It's a double-edged sword always. But just to zoom out, I think it's important to realize we are living in exponential times. This is... So how soon will it be here? It's likely already here. What's even more wild to think about is that I like Kathy Wood from ARK Invest's approach here. So there's seven exponential technologies happening all at the same time. We have artificial intelligence. We have autonomous vehicles. We have fintech innovation. We've got DNA sequencing. We've got robotics, which is the piece we're talking about right here. And we have 3D printing. And all of these things are growing exponentially at once. And we are on the hockey stick curve right now. So Mark mentioned earlier, like, the next 60 years, what's going to happen? I think it's going to be mind-blowing what happens in 5 years, 1 year, 2 year, 5 years, where we get with all this. And we're going to learn to need to adapt as humans, as we have never seen this rate of technological change before, and it's growing exponentially, and the world's just going to be really different really fast.
Yeah, I want the robot dog with the flamethrower as Brendan, isn't it? I want that. I don't know why.
I saw that thing that Brendan is commenting about. It's the dog, the robot. But somebody took like a high-tech flamethrower, and it was not tongue-in-cheek, but the dog runs around shooting 30-foot flames. And you could think of it on an offensive, but somebody wrote a comment like, I think they got the fire prevention robot thing backwards, you know. But like,
it's like that famous book, Fahrenheit. What's it, Fahrenheit?
Fahrenheit 451. No, so I actually worked helping getting that a Ghost Robotics dog into government contracts. And
tell you your conscience, Eva.
Because I mean, these things are amazing. So, no, but I mean, like, that's a bomb sniffing dog.
It's a nice plan, but you mix it.
So, no, I mean, just to give you an idea of what that dog is being used for, like, there are some really dangerous places, like places that have landmines and areas that humans shouldn't be going into. And that,
you didn't realize these are the people, they told you that, but they actually slapped on a frame thrower on it.
I know that, but that was a fun demo that makes a viral video. But in real life, what they're doing is they're sending these dogs into places that are not safe for humans, and they're saving lives.
That's what they tell me.
The problem is not with any weapon, with any tool. It's not whether it can do both. It always can do good or evil.
Box. Mom's got to the stage where he thinks, well, the fuck hell did I come?
This is great. Show? I love this.
He just doesn't. Kate realized. That's why I like Kate. She's been on this about 2 to 3 times, and she still comes on. She's up for it. But Mark, like, you just didn't understand what you were coming on, did you, Mark? I can see it. There we are. He loves it. All right. It's been a great show. It's been a great discussion. So, Kate, how can people find out more about you, what you're up to, Kate, and your pricing policies?
Pricing policy is probably best Twitter, where I tweet about all these business decisions, which would be Katie Keith Barn2, or our company website is barn2.com, where you can see the prices in action but not learn about why they are what they are.
Exactly. Heather, how can people find your latest post about how you were misled about robotic dogs that would turn into flamethrowers?
You can find my company at thedifferenceconsulting.com and all of the work we do with the government. and you can find me online at heatheriel.com.
Mark, how can people find out how you made the mistake of coming on a crazy podcast you were persuaded to?
Yeah, I'll do a live stream probably next week about it, all the torment and everything. If you just go to mjs.bio, my links and everything like that to my agency and my YouTube channels and all that are on there. So,
Chris, the main reason And but my friend, why? I have no idea why you keep coming on in. But yeah, I think you like it. A bit like Spence. So
it's a community aspect. But you can find me on, if you like this podcast, check out my podcast, LMS Cast. And if you want to teach online or build LMS sites for clients, check out lifterlms.com.
They're doing some great stuff. And Spencer, I'd like to remind that you do look forward to these monthly shows. You made the comment on Twitter that you do look forward to these monthly shows. I find you infuriating, but your contribution to the shows is much appreciated.
Well, we used to do, you know, everybody knows the story. We used to do a lot more of these back in the day. I had Twitter or Facebook show like, oh, it's Facebook, like, and 10 years ago today. And it was like you and me. I think Chris was in it. There's a couple other people that aren't with us anymore. And it was like, we've been doing this forever, but that's the consistency that I enjoy more than anything else. The technology for sure. So you can find me yapping about stuff at WPLaunchify.com, and you'll be hearing more about the things that, you know, that I in the sand on.
He actually worked out better because I really struggled to find any interesting stories on my radar, but I think I did find some this month. But if I was doing it weekly, I think it would just descend into a yawn fest because there just isn't enough stories on weeks, so having a better choice. But I struggled this month, but I think I found some stories. Would you agree, panel? Mm-hmm, please, yeah. Nod, panel. Thank you. So we're going to call it a day. We'll be back next month with another panel, another group of tech WordPress stories. We'll see you soon, folks. Bye.
Hey, thanks for listening. We really do appreciate it. Why not visit the Mastermind Facebook group? And also to keep up with the latest news, click wp-tonic.com/newsletter. We'll see you next time.